When Lord Krishna was deciding to come to this world and appear in this world, Lord Shiva petitioned Lord Krishna and asked and begged him if he could do some humble service to the Lord. And he said, "Can I become some type of, can I take some part in your pastimes? I can be a rock or a tree or anything. Let me have some contact with your Vrindavan Leela." So then Krishna said, "Actually, when we go to the, when we appear in this material world, we, my father can establish his kingdom. You can become a mountain. You can take the form, Lord Shiva, you can take the form of a mountain because you like to do tapasya on top of mountains, Mount Kailash. So you can become a mountain, and my father will build his palace there. And my brother and I, we will have so many pastimes on, in, and around the mountain." So then Lord Shiva, he came here, and he appeared here as this mountain. This mountain is the form of Lord Shiva. It's called Nandishwar Hill. In one book by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he explains some of the beauty of this place. Of course, this is not the original palace, although it's very beautiful. This is not 5,000 years old. This is only about, this place is 10 years old, and this has newly been done. At least we can hear the description when Krishna was here. It says, in Nandishwar, I said that, is considered the second body of Lord Shiva. The whole town was surrounded by a very tall wall made of sapphires. There were beautiful gardens on top of the wall. In other words, the wall, the boundary wall of this Nandagram was quite wide. Very wide wall, like the Great Wall of China or something. There's a very wide wall. It's very wide, actually. So this, they would have so many gardens and flowers and fruits growing up there. Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that there was a wonderful system of aqueducts. Aqueducts means some arches and some, this aqueduct means like some arches carrying some pipe or some drain. There's a wonderful system carrying water from the hills, from the top of the hill to each and every house by bamboo pipes. And this was, because there was houses circular, as you see now when you look out the window, there's houses and palaces all around the on the sides of the hill. So it was an aqueduct carrying water to each and every house. So water was coming from the top of the mountain. They had some well or something, and then their water was being distributed to all the houses by bamboo pipes. Very interesting. And he's making this note. The entire kingdom of Nanda Maharaj was surrounded by a great moat. Like in the, you see in the castles, they have some water around them, like this is the castle or palace. Then they have like water with alligators or whatever, so no one can get across. You know, yeah, there's a gate going across, and they lift the gate. Of course, now everything looks quite the opposite. Looks quite dry. During Krishna's time, there were so many streams, small streams or rivers flowing down the side of the hill, and this is what formed this. These streams went in to make this moat at the bottom of the hill. So the whole palace, the whole hill was surrounded by this water. Then it describes the actual houses. The houses were made of emeralds. It's not bad. Good building material. And the gates of the palace were made of jewels and gold. Gold with inset with jewels. And there was, along the walls, there were parrots. There were parrots sculpted out of jewels. And of course Krishna had so many pet parrots. So these carved parrots look so much like real parrots that Krishna's pet parrots would fly up and sit next to them and talk to them. So, you know. And then the parrot would, they didn't have nothing, it was a glass, so it was like a stone parrot, it wouldn't reply. And then So, but anyway, these pet parrots of Krishna would make friends with those parrots. And the gopis, when the gopis would come, they could not tell the parrots apart. So in their bewilderment, the gopis used to open a pomegranate anar and take the seeds, and they would feed it to the sculpted parrots. Oh, here, have some pomegranate. And then when he wouldn't take it, they would think, oh, I guess he's not hungry. We hear that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they lived here, and they're described as the embodiment of parental affection, Vatsalya Bhav. They had so much intense love for Krishna. The love was just oozing from their bodies. And you have to understand that when Krishna was born, Nanda Baba, his hair was black and white, and his beard is described as being like, his beard was like salt and pepper. That's a phrase they use, salt and pepper beard. Black with some white hairs coming. Nanda Baba was about 70 years old when Krishna was born. And Mother Yashoda was about 60. But she was quite old. And so here, Krishna was 7, 8, 10 years old. So she was 70 years old. But every time when she would pick up Krishna and she would hold him in her arms, her breast milk would start flowing like the Ganges. Because so much love was coming out of her body. And she would cry. Her tears would fall from her eyes like the Yamuna River. Of course, we're following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came here 500 years ago. And we could even assume that some of the Brahmins that we meet today, they may be descendants, some of them, may be descendants of the same Brahmins that met Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya was in the bottom of the hill, he asked the local people, he said, are there any deities, or any murtis? I suppose he said murtis, but are there any deities on the top of this hill? And they said, no, there's no temple up there, maybe long ago, thousands of years ago, but everything's broken now. But there's one cave there. There's one cave, and there's one man there, and one lady, and two little boys over there in that cave. But it's all grown over and covered, so nobody really goes there much. So of course, Lord Chaitanya, he ran up the hill of Nandishwar. I don't know, we didn't exactly run up the hill ourselves. But Lord Chaitanya, he was understanding, oh, there's this one man and there's one lady and very tall figure. And between them there are two boys, bent, threefold bending form. He understood who that was. And he ran up the hill, he went in the cave. And as soon as he saw Krishna and Balaram, he immediately offered his dandavats. Then he touched the feet of Krishna. He touched the murti of Krishna. And because at this time in his sannyas lila, Lord Chaitanya is deeply in Radha Bhav, searching for Krishna. Krishna kahan, where is Krishna? Krishna kotai. Then he started crying in ecstatic love, and he was just chanting, Krishna kaniya, Krishna kaniya, Krishna kaniya. When the Brijvasis, they followed Lord Chaitanya up the hill because he was such a beautiful, attractive figure. And they'd never seen someone like this come to Nandagam. They followed him up the hill, and then they saw how he was behaving inside this cave. He was in ecstatic bliss, having darshan of Krishna. And they started speaking among themselves. Who is this? It appears that this is Nanda Nandan himself. This is Krishna himself. He's come back. Because we don't have any feelings. We see these deities, we don't feel anything. But he's seeing them and becoming completely ecstatic. It appears that he's Krishna himself. Of course, we already heard the pastime about Asheshwar Mahadev, where he's over there in his linga form, and every day he's receiving the Charanamrita from Krishna's bathing, and also the prasad, Mahaprasad from Gopal, or Govinda. So as we were mentioning, that Radharani would come here every day with so many sakis and manjaris from Yavat or Barsana, and cook here. It's described that Yashoda had a beautiful kitchen. There were hundreds of stoves there in the kitchen. And then Radharani and all the Sakis, they'd be in front of the stoves and cooking different preparations. And Krishna would be in his bedroom, waiting for breakfast. And there was, his bedroom is such that there's some small window there. So he can glance out the window and he could see the kitchen. And by looking out his window, he could see the kitchen. He could see Radharani stirring, lifting lids and stirring and adding spices and adjusting the wood. It was all wood burning stoves. So there's so many sweet descriptions of the interactions of Krishna. And sometimes Madhumangala would come in his room, then he would speak in a loud voice to attract the attention of Radharani. Krishna would say, "Madhumangala, I wonder, what are those ladies cooking anyway? What are those gopis cooking in the kitchen? Is it anything, will it be anything good? Do they actually know how to cook?" So needless to say, when Radharani hears Shamsundar speaking like this, then she becomes very happy. Very, very happy. And she starts smiling. And Krishna, of course, is only saying like that he's joking with Radharani and trying to attract her attention, which he does very nicely. And like this, so many pastimes. And then when it comes to serving the prasad, or whether the food or bhoga, it's not prasad yet, has to be offered to Krishna. Actually, it is prasad. I made a mistake. Because it's all offered to the deity of Lord Narayan. Because in Nanda Baba's house, he has a temple, Lord Narayan temple, Lakshmi Narayan. So all the food that Radharani cooks is offered to the deity of Lord Narayan, and Krishna eats the Mahaprasad. Krishna's eating his own Mahaprasad. Krishna's eating and Krishna's eating. So it's all the same tattva. These pastimes are very nicely described in various what we call advanced writings of the Goswamis, the Krishna Bhavanamrita, Govinda Lilamrita, Krishnaika Kumudi, and of course not so deeply advanced, but Ananda Vrindavan Champu. They describe these morning pastimes of Krishna and Nandagam, and they're full of humor. Because Krishna's eating, but all of his friends are there, and there's a very light mood. Because Nanda Baba and Upananda and the other Nandas, they aren't there at the time. They're engaged elsewhere in the Goshala. So they have a lot of fun when they take prasadam. For example, when they're serving the prasad, and then Madhumangala, he's only thinking, when is the sweet rice coming? He just has his mind, but there's so many samosas and so many sabjis and puris and all kinds of wonderful chutneys, and he's only thinking, when is Mother Yashoda going to bring the sweet rice? And he has this big plate, because he always eats 10 times more than he can digest. He always takes so much. And then he's thinking, oh, how am I going to finish all this and get to the sweet rice? So Madhumangala is very clever, very intelligent Brahmin. So he has a plan in his mind how to accomplish his desire, fulfill his desire. So he says, oh, look, boys, look. Look at that funny monkey over there. You see that monkey? He's hanging from the tree by his tail. He's hanging upside down, making such a funny face at us. Look, look, look. Everyone look. See, look, look, everyone look. So then everyone looks over there. And then while everyone's looking, he takes all the prasadam from his plate and he puts it on Balaram's plate and Krishna's plate and Sridham's and Subal's. And then his plate becomes completely clean. He says, oh, Janani, oh my Yashoda, bring the sweet rice, I finished everything, bring the sweet rice. Another time, Radharani, sometimes Yashoda Ma, she asks Radharani, she induces Radharani, please you come and serve all the beautiful preparations that you've made. And she said, no, I'm too shy. I'm too shy. So then what she does, she gives everything. Rohini serves, and other elderly gopis, they serve. But Radharani just stays in the kitchen, and she's watching. And she's watching how Krishna's appreciating, how he's eating each item. So Krishna knows very well what Radharani's doing. He knows that she's watching him. So when he takes one of his favorite preparations, which is called Ganga Jal Ladu. They call it Ganga Jal Ladu. Maybe it's made with Ganga Jal, I can't say. But it's some type of ladu, sweet. And then It's very favored, and Radharani makes it so perfectly, and so satisfying, and so delicious. So Krishna takes a bite of it, and then he makes this terrible face, as if he just ate a amlaki, or I don't know what you say, you know, a bitter thing of like this. And he goes, oh, and then he takes it. And he turns on his side, and he turns. It's Sridham's plate. So he takes. Oh, Sridham, you take it. It's bekar. This is kata. It's no good. You take it. So now, Srimati Radharani is really alarmed. Radhika is really alarmed because she's thinking, "Oh, my beloved, she starts thinking, "Oh, what happened? Didn't I forgot the sugar? I didn't put the sugar in the sweet? Or I didn't put the spicing? Oh, what did I do?" She's very much disturbed about her preparation. So she's watching. She's watching Krishna's face. And then her brother, Sridham, he takes that same sweet which Krishna rejected and put on his plate, or his plate. And then Sridham picks up the sweet. And then he puts in his mouth. And he makes this beautiful expression of satisfaction. He's completely overjoyed. His face is telling that this is the best ladu I ever had in my life. So when Radharani is seeing that, and she's seeing how her brother is so happy and satisfied with the ladu, and then she looks back at Krishna's face, and Krishna is trying to keep from laughing. So he's going, he's like pretending to eat, but there's some slight smile there. Then when Radharani looks back at it, and then she says, "Oh, Krishna's joking with me." Krishna Rama ki. So the question is, on one side there's Nanda, and then there's Yashoda, and I think
Radharani,
Vishme.
Krishna Balaram.
Radharani, then Nanda, then Balaram, then Krishna, then Yashoda, then Sudam.
Sridham Madhumangal.
Sridham Madhumangal. This is the altar, Sridham Madhumangal. The whole family. So the question is, who are those two black boys playing flute? There's two. Well, who's who? They're both black. Why? The question is, why are they black? Second question. Why are they black? Why is Balaram black? What happened? That's very good. That's really good. I like that. That's really rustic answer. The Russians are really into it. That's very good. Took bath in the Yamuna. Kalindi Maharani ki. Anyone else have any answers? That was a good one. This is a closer answer. He's only thinking? The question we asked in Russian and English is that we see on the altar between Yashoda and Nanda, who are the two very large figures, there are two black deities. One is obviously Krishna. And on Krishna's right hand side, which means next to Nanda Baba, on Nanda Baba's left hand side, is Balaram, Dauji. But he's also black. Why is he black? He's black because he's absorbed. He's totally absorbed in serving and pleasing Krishna. His every thought, his every desire, his every action is for the pleasure of Krishna. He's Krishnamayi. He's made of Krishna. He's absorbed in Krishna. So it's described in Adi Lila, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's describing Ananta Shesh, Balaram Ananta Shesh, Nityananda. How Balaram, Nityananda, Ananta Shesh, they are absorbed in Sevananda. It says that, and then the translation Prabhupada gives, that Balaram is relishing the bliss of serving. The bliss, as we say in India, transcendental bliss. If you do this TM process, you will get transcendental bliss. But we'd rather chant and dance and take prasadam and get our transcendental bliss. So this is this seva, by serving Krishna, one becomes so ecstatic, so blissful. And his own brother is teaching that. So in this particular place, especially Nandagam, Balaram is so much absorbed in serving and pleasing Krishna that he's taken on his color. So this is why Balaram is black. To show the absorption and service. So it doesn't mean that if you become absorbed in service, you'll turn black. It depends. If you're absorbed in Krishna's service, maybe you turn black. Or maybe more like you'll turn golden color. Like Gauranga. Gauranga! Gauranga! Nityananda! Of course, Krishna had many pastimes here in Nandagaon of milking the cows. And one time, Krishna heard that in Radharani and Barsana, of course we tell that in Barsana also, but we tell it here, she was thinking that, how is it Krishna milks the cows? Krishna was milking the cows one time, and Radharani came to see him here. And then Krishna said, Radharani, did you know that on the end of the teat, the udder of the cow, you know, the end of this thing, you know? The end of the teat, or the udder, on the bottom, there's a design of a lotus flower there, on the bottom of a cow's teat, or udder. Did you know that, Radharani? So Radharani said, really? I've never seen. No, it's really true. I'll show you. Just look, bend down, look. So Radharani's looking, he says, you see, look, there. And Radharani says, no, look closer. Then, Krishna grabbed it. So now this is the story of the yellow handkerchief. You know the story?
No.
You don't know. Do you know a handkerchief? So this is in the morning when Krishna is trying to wake up for Mangal Aarti. Sometimes it can be very difficult. One time, because this is a very interesting pastime. Because we actually see reality according to our mood. Whatever our mood is, whatever our bhav, it's called bhav drishti. How we see reality, how we see people, how we see things. In Sanskrit, they approximate this by saying, Atmanam manyate jagat. Atmanam manyate jagat. The jagat, this world, we consider it in terms of our own self. Manyate means we think about it in terms of ourself. And for example, if I'm a thief, if I'm a chore by nature, my swabhav, chore swabhav, if my nature is to steal and I'm a thief, if I mix up with anybody, I say, oh, I think he's a thief. Watch out for him, he may steal. Hey, watch out, he may steal your wallet. Or he may, because this is my outlook. This is my outlook in life. So this term, which we must have heard, atmanamanite jagat, it also can be described as bhav drishti. According to our bhav, that's how we drishti or darshan, that's how we see. So someone who is fixed in a particular bhav, like Srimati Yashoda Devi, she's in vatsalya bhav, motherly love, parental love. So her bhav is such that she only sees her lala. He's Nanda Dulal, he's Yashoda Dulal. He's my Gopal. He's not that he's a big boy, he's a big man now. No, he's my little baby. I have to feed him my breast milk. I have to rock him to sleep. She can never see that he's anything but my baby, my beloved baby. So Yashoda Maya, she only sees that Krishna is her dependent child. He's dependent on her, And one day when she went, she was trying to wake him up for his duties of milking the cows and going to play with his friends. And she noticed that Krishna's eyes were completely bloodshot, completely red. And then she noticed that there were some scratches on him, and she was thinking, oh, what has happened? My boy's eyes are so red. He must have, when he's playing with the coward boys, maybe they were splashing water too much in Pavan Sarovar or in Jamuna. They were splashing him so much, it got so much water in his eyes. Now his eyes are so red. And when they wrestled too roughly, so they scratched him. So then she went to get some handkerchief, a yellow handkerchief, to give him this handkerchief to wipe his eyes because they're so red and they were tearing. So then when Mother Yashoda brings out this yellow handkerchief and she gives it to Krishna, when Krishna sees the yellow handkerchief, he starts crying even more. He starts crying more and his eyes start tearing even more and more. Because as soon as he sees the yellow handkerchief, that becomes an udipan, becomes a stimulant to awaken or excite his love, the reservoir of his love for Radharani in his heart, because Radharani is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. So he sees the yellow handkerchief and he starts crying more. And the mother shows, oh, he must have some eye disease. He must have some eye infection. I better call a doctor. So then one gopi named Kundalata, she comes. When Mother Yashoda describes his condition, he says, listen, Krishna, my Lala, he has some eye disease. Kundalata, maybe you can suggest what I should do. Then Kundalata says, no, actually, Yashoda, this is not an eye disease at all. Actually, your son, his eyes are red like this because he's interested, now he's growing up. He's got red eyes from looking at all the girls in Vrindavan. I think it's high time that you got your son married. It's about time he got married. And then Mother Yashoda heard that and said, what? My Lala, he's only a baby, he's only crawling around in the courtyard. How can you say that? He is just my Lala. It's impossible, he's still on my breast, how can I marry him? Of course he was 10 years old at the time. So this is the vision, because Yashoda's vision is determined by her love. So she, because she's fixed in Vatsalya Bhav, fixed in the mood of motherly love, she can never have any purview or any understanding of what is Madhurya Bhav, or what is the conjugal love, or that her son has any other type of high or deep confidential relationships with the gopis of Vrindavan. She can't see that. This is the beauty of her love, which is so much displayed here, the extreme perfection of Mother Yashoda's motherly love, or we say parental love, Vatsalya Bhav. So this pastime illustrates that. Krishna is seeing the handkerchief and thinking one thing and responding in one way because of his own Madhurya Bhav for Radharani. But Yashoda Mayi, she's only fixed. He's my Lala and he needs his butter. I have to feed him. I have to take care of him. This is all she can think. Now, we thought we have some comfortable place to sit here by the mercy of Nanda Baba. Because after this we'll go down the hill and we'll go to the buses and then we'll get our belongings, our bathing thing, paraphernalia. And we'll go to Snan Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and Pavan Bihari Temple and also Pavan Sarovar for bathing. So this Pavan Sarovar is a very, very wonderful place of Krishna's pastimes. It's a very, very, very large lake. There are many boating pastimes there, and many other pastimes. One very interesting pastime is that Krishna and Balaram and the boys in this Pavan Sarovara, they would play counting. Who could stay under the water longest? One boy would go under the water, and then they would count. 1, 2, 3, and then he would come up. Oh, 10 seconds. Another boy would go down. So Krishna's very clever, very funny. So he went under, Balaram went down, and Balaram stayed for 5 minutes. It's quite a long time. Because he's Balaram. So then everyone said, oh, look what your older brother did. Krishna, can you beat that? So Krishna went under the water for 2 minutes, and he swam over by some lotus flowers on the corner of the lake in Pavan Sarovara. And there's some blue lotus flowers there. Then he came up amongst those blue lotus flowers with his blue face, lotus face. Padmamukh. And no one could distinguish or see him with his face. His face was mixed in with the lotus flowers. And he was watching the boy's expression. So Krishna's hiding himself amidst a cluster of blue lotus flowers. And the gopas are becoming so distraught. They say, oh, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Oh my God, what has happened? Because, of course, they're not thinking that Krishna's God. He's only our friend. And Balaram, who's the biggest and strongest of all of them, he only stayed for 5 minutes. Now it's only 8 minutes. And they start saying, oh, Krishna, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Hey, look, everyone spread out. Look for Krishna. He must be down there. Maybe, I don't know. Oh, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. Look, you go. Sridham, Sridham. You go. Every look for Krishna. Everyone's looking. Krishna's like, oh. And everyone's becoming, all the coward boys are becoming so unhappy and so feeling so much in separation. Krishna, Krishna, they're calling for him. They're crying for him. They're crying Krishna's name. Just like the genuine crying of a child for his mother. Sound familiar? This is how Srila Prabhupada told us. This is the mantra chintata. This is the consideration, mantra artha chintata. This is the meaning of the holy name. This is the mood behind our chanting. It should be like a child. Prabhupada said the genuine, not the fake, because children know how to fake cry. And the mother said, that's fake. When I want a cookie. When I want a toy. When the mother says, forget it. But when they go, ah! Then the mother knows that's real. So Prabhupada said we should cry the holy name. Chant the holy name like the genuine crying of a child for his mother. So the gopas were like that. They were children. Krishna's childhood friends, and they were crying for Krishna, 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 Krishna. And Krishna was watching. Oh, they're feeling that the zenith of separation, the utmost separation, and their love is so, and Krishna was observing their love. Krishna likes to observe our love. He likes to observe the expressions of our love, if we have any. Or at least we're trying to have some. And he's observing, oh, so much love they have for me. So much attachment they have for me. They're going crazy. And the boys are thinking, listen, if we can't find Krishna, then let us all drown. Why should we live without him? And then the boys started diving. Forget it, Balaram, I'm leaving. I'm going under. If he's under, I'm going under. If Krishna's under the water, I'm going under the water. I'm not. Why live? And Krishna said, oh, this is getting serious. This is getting serious. I've seen enough. I'm convinced. I'm really convinced. They really love me. More than anything. So immediately, shoom, he dove under the water, zip, and then he came up right in their midst. Haribo! Everybody said, oh, Jayo, Jayo, oh, this, that, you know. And there was a union, reunion. When they were on the brink of death due to separation from Krishna, then he manifested his presence. Sometimes on a hot summer evening, after coming back from cow herding, although generally Krishna came up here after putting the cows in the goshala, Krishna would come up here and take a bath with Balaram and Maramangal, because they lived together, all three, here. But he would tell his mother, he said, listen, Mother Yashoda, today I want to bathe in Pavan Sarovara. It's very, very hot. I don't even feel like climbing the hill. He would send a messenger up and say, tell my mother, I'm going bathing. So then Mother Yashoda would send some raktak or patrak, some servant. She would send him down the hill with all the bathing paraphernalia. Gamsha or whatever you wear. Gamsha and towel and all his oils and whatever he puts on when he bathes. So he would go down to help assist Krishna's bath. Meanwhile, in Yavat, Radharani would tell her mother-in-law, oh, Tila, it's so hot today, and I think all the gopis, you know, we want to go to bathe in Pavan Sarovara. And she says, all right, all you sakis, you go to Pavan Sarovara, and you bathe, and you quickly come back. So Pavan Sarovara is very, very large at that time. It's several kilometers long. So then on one side, Radharani and all her sakis were bathing. And on the other side, far removed from all the gopis, was Krishna and Balaram and all the gopis, sporting and playing and splashing and having wonderful time in Pavan Sarovar. So again, the coward boys were playing this game of counting, diving under the water, and who could stay the longest. So now Krishna, he was thinking, when he went under the water, as soon as he dove in the water, he felt some special electric current. Some electric current was passing through the water. Because you know, water carries electricity very fast. So this electricity is known as prema. It's called Mahabhav. It is a very powerful substance. And it emanates from the heart of Srimati Radharani. It radiates. It radiates from the heart of Srimati Radharani and saturates her entire being. Her whole body is vibrating with Mahabhav. In fact, her body is made of Mahabhav. So then when Radharani is bathing on the other side of Pavan Sarovara, then Pavan Sarovara becomes electrified, surcharged with her Mahabhav, and all that radiation and vibration goes zzzz, all the way over to the other side where Krishna is bathing. And when he goes under the water for playing this counting game, then he gets zapped. He contacts that Mahabhav and he says, "Oh, Radharani, that's Radharani. This is Radharani's prem. And it's coming from that direction." So then Krishna starts. Swimming. And he's getting closer and closer. Then he sees that water all around Radharani, all the water has become a beautiful golden color. Usually it's dark blue or a dark color. Just a radiance, like as you get closer to the sun, it becomes more and more brilliant. So brilliant you become dissolved and burned up in the brilliance. So as Krishna, he penetrates that effulgence of Radharani, that radiance. And then he sees that she's standing there. Her two legs are under the water. So then Krishna comes underwater, then he starts touching Radharani's, touching her thighs, touching her different parts of her body which are under the water. And Radharani she's above the water just chit-chatting, joking with her sakis, talking about Krishna, maybe singing some bhajan about Krishna. And then Radharani understands, wait a minute, that very person we're singing about, that very person we're glorifying is under the water, tickling my legs. And so she's trying to contain the ecstasy that's swelling up in her heart and spreading throughout her body. So she's trying to be very cool and calm and collected. And she's just talking, yes, Lalita Sakhi, and Krishna's like this, and he does like this, yes, yes, and Julan is there, and Holi is there. trying to be very, very controlled, very self-controlled. But meanwhile, the mantris, Rati Mantri, Rupa Mantri, Raghunath Das, other mantris, they're always fixed on Radharani. Her every movement of her eyebrow, every movement of her lips, every movement of her fingertips, however she moves her body, it's a signal to them. It's a signal either for service or for conveying the bhavs they're feeling or she's feeling. And not only that, the mantris, Radharani's maidservants, are so much one with Radharani's mood that whatever Radharani feels, they also feel. So when Krishna's tickling Radharani, they're also in the water. Wait a minute. And they don't see anybody, but then they look at Radharani. Oh, they can understand. So the mantris, they know the heart and mind of Radharani better than she knows herself. So then they say, "Oh, Lalita Sakhi, actually, this Krishna, he can move through all the elements. Sometimes Krishna moves through the air. Sometimes he moves through the water. When he takes mean avatar." And they're saying one thing outside, but meaning another thing inside. Because a mean avatar means the fish incarnation, Matsya. So Krishna's moving through the water. And then Krishna takes another incarnation, he's moving through the air. He's like this. So the mantri starts singing these songs, and then Radharani glances at the mantris. "Acha, you know what I'm feeling, and you know what I'm undergoing." And they say, "Yes, we're right with you, don't worry, keep cool, we'll help you all the way." So the only ones that don't really know what's going on are Lalita, Vishakha, Rangadevi, Tongavidya, Chitra, the Asasakis. They don't know because there's some little distance between their hearts and Radharani's heart. So we can leave Krishna there under the water and only imagine what happens next. So when Krishna comes back from cowherding, sometimes he goes to Kamyavan, and many times he goes to Govardhan or Kokilavan. So many vans are here, Dvadasavan. And when before he brings the cows back to the Goshala, they're feeling thirsty, naturally, after walking so long through the pastures. So then he brings the cows to Pavan Sarovara. And in order to induce them or to encourage them to come into the water, and he has to speak their language. So Krishna calls them with special cow language, Gai Basha. So first he says, Niri Niri. Niri Niri. Niri means, of course, you don't know what it says. It means come. It means he's calling them, Niri Niri, come, come. And then they go into the water, and then they're standing there, and then he says, Chun Chun. It's like Chumbita, or it means, Chun means to, like Charvita, Chun means to drink. It's Chun Chun. Chun 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 chun, niri niri chun chun, and then they're drinking, and then he wants to get them to come back to the bank, and he says tiri tiri, so he says niri niri chun chun tiri tiri. So let's see if you can repeat these mantras. You keep it. Everyone chant niri niri,
niri niri,
niri niri,
niri, niri.
Chun chun.
Chun chun.
Niri niri chun chun.
Niri niri chun chun.
Tiri tiri.
Tiri tiri.
Chalo, jao. So it's like this. Now one last pastime, because this Sarovara, which we will have the good fortune to bathe in, is called Pavan. Pavan Sarovara. So there are different stories about why it's called Pavan Sarovara. One itihas or history is that Vishakha Sakhi, her father's name is Pavan Gop. So he actually built this Sarovara. That was his, he did some seva. We were discussing the other night about charity. There are so many types of charitable works. Put lighting in on some road, if you build lights on some road, or you build a lake for people to wash their clothes or bathe in, or you make a pyal for people to drink water, or you distribute. There's so many pious and sukrit good things. So this was going on 5,000 years ago. Vishakha's father, Pavan Gop, he built this huge sarovara, and then it was named after him, Pavan Sarovara. But another story explains that it's Pavan because actually it's because Krishna has his Leela there and he's bathing there, and Radharani also, that by the contact of their bodies everything becomes completely pure. Anyone who contacts Krishna, they become Pavan. Pavan means pure, Patita Pavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan. Patita Pavan Avatar Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki. Because this place is completely purifying, then there's a very interesting story about one day when Nanda Maharaj was bathing in Pavan Sarovara, because he also bathes there. And when he got there, he saw... Actually, before that, I'll back up a little bit the story. So Nanda Maharaj, he had heard the glories from one Rishi, Baguri Rishi. He had visited the palace, and he was telling, from Padma Puran, he was telling the Mahatmyams of the different holy places. Pushkar Mahatmyam, the glories of Pushkar, which is a holy tirtha in Rajasthan. Then he was talking about Ganga Mahatmyam, the glories of Ganga. Then he was talking about Prayag Mahatmyam, the glories of Prayag, which is called Allahabad, where they have Kumbh Mela. Triveni is there. Ganga is there. Jamuna and Saraswati is hidden. So he was hearing this, and then Nanda Maharaj, he decided, well, I should take my family, we should go on a yatra. We should go on pilgrimage and visit Kumbh Mela. And we should take bath in the Ganga, because I heard the great glories, how much Sukriti you get, how much punya fall, and how good it is for you. So I want to benefit my family by taking them on pilgrimage or yatra to Allahabad, Prayag. When Nanda Maharaj went to take bath in Pavan Sarovar, he saw one very stately personality, one very robust and strong and exalted man who was just coming out of Pavan Sarovar. He just finished his bath, and he was from some place. Nanda Maharaj didn't recognize him, but he could see by his features that he was some type of king or some type of Raj. And this person, this king, he was laughing, and he was elated. He was just laughing, and he was so happy and joyful. And Nanda Maharaj was very curious, and he said, "Excuse me, sir," or something like that. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Prayag Raj." Nanda Maharaj said, "Prayag Raj? There's no Prayag Raj living in Nandagram. Where have you come from?" "Oh, actually, I am from the Triveni, where the Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati come together and meet." Nanda Maharaj said, "Well, why have you come here?" And Prayag Raj said, they say Prayag Raj, Raj means the king, because Prayag or Allahabad is considered the king of all holy places, the Raj, Prayag Raj. He said, "Every year an Akshaya Tritya, which is around in May, every year an Akshaya Tritya, I come here from, I leave Allahabad and I come here to Pavan Sarovar to take a bath." He said, "Every year I come here to bathe on Akshaya Tritya to purify myself of all the sins that I accumulate from all the pilgrims and yatris who are taking bath in the Triveni. Especially after Kumbh Mela in January, February, thousands and lakhs of people bathe in the Triveni. And they leave so many sins there. So then in order to purify myself, all those sins come on my head. In order to purify myself, I come here to take bath in this Sarovara. Not only do I come here, but all the other sacred rivers in India on this day, Akshaya Tritya, they also come here to bathe. See, look across the other side." Because he was bathing on this side. It was the men's side, Prayagraj. He said, "Look on the other side, you see?" And then Nanda Maharaj, he looked over there. He said, "Oh, who are all those celestial ladies?" He wasn't talking about the Russians. He said, who are all these celestial ladies?" He saw these divine damsels on the other opposite bank, and they were bathing. And then Prayagraj said, "Yes, that is Saraswati. That is Saraswati Devi. That is Ganga Devi. That is Narmada Devi. That is Sindhu Devi. That is Kaveri Devi. They also, as I come to bathe, all the sacred rivers in India, they also come here to bathe in this very lake and this very place on this very day, Akshaya Tritya." Nanda Maharaj was, wow, really? In this place. So from that day forward, this lake became known as Pavan Sarovar, the lake which purifies us of all our contamination and gives us the eligibility and qualification of Sakshat Darshan of Krishna Balaram. Of course, on the altar, first there's Radharani, then there's Nanda Baba, then there's Balaram, then there's Krishna, then there's Yashoda, then there's Mother Mangal, then there's Sridham. They're all from left to right as you take Darshan. So by this mercy of this Pavan Sarovar, we will attain the qualification to have Darshan, Sakshat Darshan of Radharani and Krishna and Balaram and everybody. So if anyone hasn't gone on the roof, they can go on the roof over there, I think the stairs. And they can have the panoramic Darshan of Braj Mandal from Nanda Baba's palace rooftop. We can see where we came from, Asheshwar Mahadev and Tarakadamba, and you can see, if it's clear, if there's not too much pollution, you can see Barsana. Barsana will be that way. If you look this way, it's Barsana. This Barsana is this way, another hill with another palace on it.